Open your Bibles, if you would, this morning to Matthew's Gospel. If you're here for the first time, I hope you experience the love of God and the love of one another that's here. So I want to make sure you feel welcomed. I'm personally saying welcome. Thank you for being a part of our Sunday morning service. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and in verse 8, we're studying a series called the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 8, is the verse we're looking at this morning. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Heavenly Father, thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for all those that have been serving, coming early, setting up, ushering, serving food, making coffee, getting the sound, and those on our worship team and those in the children's ministry and back. We're greatly blessed, and we pray, God, that you'd encourage all of those that are involved in serving today. Thank you for your word that's going out around the world. Thank you for how you are speaking to your church today. Father, we ask your grace and mercy and healing for those that can't join us today, for those that are sick, family members and children. God, we pray for you to bring comfort and healing. Continue, God, to open up our hearts now that we would know you, love you, and love others in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Somebody once said, if our greatest need had been information, then God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent a Savior. Amen. I don't know where this illustration originated from, but I liked it. I was reading it yesterday. It has to do with a father in Spain, and he had a broken relationship with his son for many, many years, and the dad was coming towards the end of his life, and he loved his son, Paco, and he really wanted to have an opportunity to reconcile the differences. He did all he could in a personal way to reach out and try to find his son. He had no success in doing that. And he was greatly saddened, realizing his time was short. So the dad did this. He put an ad in the newspaper, and in the newspaper he said to my son, Paco, "I want to meet with you here in front of the newspaper stand at noon tomorrow. And I want you to know I forgive you and all wrongs are made right. Meet me at 12 in front of the newspaper business." At noon, Dad was there. And there was 800 boys named Paco who showed up. And I read that, and initially I laughed like each of you, but then I began to think about that, and I began to realize how many boys need forgiveness from dads, how many girls need forgiveness from dads and moms. And it's very true. We live in a very broken time with a lot of difficulties and hurt relationships, and we're thankful for the Word of God. Someone once said, at the heart of every problem, there's a problem in the heart. And Jesus understands that. And again, in this message in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, he sees the multitudes. Other Gospels say when he sees the multitudes, he has great compassion on these people. Just many, many people coming to Jesus. And in this particular time, He moves up, he sits down on a mountain, he draws his disciples to him as well as the others, and he opens his mouth and he begins to speak, and he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Think of what that must have meant. The kingdom of heaven, poor in spirit. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And then he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We'll learn next week about the peacemakers and those that are persecuted. But right now, the pure in heart. And all of these go in sequence. You can't just say, I want chapter 5 in verse 8 to minister to me. It will, but not without those first verses leading up to it. I have to come to a point to realize I'm bankrupt spiritually. This world hasn't been able to provide for me. And I mourn my sin in the humility and the meekness of God I experience. And there's a new desire, no longer for the things of this world, but hungering and thirsting for the things of God. And not only was there the grace of God that saved me, but even before that was the mercy of God. We needed the mercy of God to be able to receive the grace of God. But the Bible says our hearts are the problem. We have to have purity in heart. Jesus spoke about this when he was ministering in Matthew 23. He's confronting the hypocrites, the religious leaders, and he said to them, for you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of extortion and self-indulgence. He speaks to them. He says, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Paul would later say in 2 Timothy 3, in terms of the days in which we live, men will be lovers of themselves. They'll love money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents. They'll be unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, and slanderous, without self-control. He says they'll be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. David himself, when he was praying for his son Solomon, he prayed this: I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness, in uprightness of heart. Later, he would say that God is looking throughout this world to show himself strong on behalf of those who have a loyal heart to him. Jesus would again affirm this issue of the heart. You see, within relationships, especially within marriage, we realize that maybe half don't make it. And of the ones that still are married, how much fulfillment is there really there? And there's all kinds of books and all kinds of resources. You can even come on Friday night and be blessed by Chris and Lynn and that ministry. But the work of God won't take place until we deal with our heart. Because they said, why, to Jesus, why did Moses issue a certificate of divorce? And Jesus says, it wasn't for all these numerous misbehaviors, all these numerous sins. It was because of the hardness of your heart. That's where it started. When our hearts become hard, that's when sin begins to move out. You see, if you and I were to have a pad of paper and maybe a red pen, a thick one. I like thick ones. How I study for my Bible, I have art sheets and have all kinds of colored pens and pencils, and I just have a lot of fun and put thoughts and color and everything. My wife comes in to bring me something to eat, and I'm just coloring. What are you doing? Working on Sunday, babe. If we could just take this big white art sheet of paper and with a red pen make a heart, and then by yourself, nobody else around, doesn't concern anybody else, you have that nice red thick Flopin, you've got that big heart right there. Nobody else is looking, and nobody else is going to know. With that red pen, fill in the heart. How much of that heart belongs to Jesus? That represents your heart. Color in how much of that heart really belongs to Jesus. We know we gave our heart to him. But the world and all these other stuff come in and they crowd out. My heart belongs to Jesus. And that's what he's saying. Jesus is saying here, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And when our hearts aren't pure, it's very difficult to see spiritual things. It's very difficult to sense the Lord's leading and the Lord's direction within our lives. Psalm 24 tells us, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Psalm 51 says, you desire truth in the inward parts. I shall be clean. Wash me. I want to be whiter than snow. Later in Psalm 51, it says, create in me a clean heart. You know that song, Sean. Appreciate that. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Proverbs 22:11. He who loves purity of heart has grace on his lips. We need to have grace on our lips. I have never known a time like the time we're in right now, when we look into our country, our nation, when we hear all the things that people are saying and doing very aggressively and very harshly towards one another or towards leaders or in families. I've never known ever in my life this toxic level of communication that is nonstop, going all the time. I realize we have media devices and tools that maybe help move it or push it out that way, but still, Jesus would say, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And I look at this, and I think how much of this is entering and permeating me and my heart. How much is affecting me and my words and my relationship with wife and family and fellowship and others. And we realize that there is aggressive brutality towards others at young age and no limit to any age. That must stop right now as believers in Jesus Christ. As believers in Jesus Christ, it's clear. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, except what is good for the building up of others. I believe Ephesians 4. That's what needs to take place. And you say, yeah, Pastor, I want that. But our hearts are greatly polluted with so much stuff in this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it tells us, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk amongst them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Listen, therefore come out from amongst them and be separated, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. When we're looking at this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, the impossibility of being pure without his provision and power, it can't happen. I'm saying, Jesus says to us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But without his provision for us, a relationship with him, his provision, forgiveness for us, without his provision for us, and without his power in us, it's not going to happen. That's how it happens. Purity, let me make this clear, does not mean that I will never have a bad thought again. I wish. But I will when I get to heaven. This was hard for me, and maybe for you. When you come to Christ, when you have a born-again experience with Christ, when you experience the washing away of your sin and you have a new life, and you are filled with the Spirit of God, you realize this is new. I am new. I'm born again. And so much of God's grace, and you're moving ahead, and then all of a sudden, you do have those sinful tendencies of the past. What's going on? What's happening? And the Lord says to me, you're still a sinner. And I am. But I know I'm not telling anybody anything new. We struggle with that. That's a real struggle in our lives. Wanting to please God and not wanting to indulge ourselves inappropriately. Purity is not the promotion of a sinless life. Through these scriptures, Jesus is not promoting a sinless life here on earth. What he's saying is, I want you to experience me, being one in Christ. No longer I, but Christ lives within me. And being able to walk with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord and receive his word and to really experience his power over so much of what we were troubled with in the past. So when it says, blessed are the pure in heart, we're talking about the pursuit of purity, which is the same as the pursuit of holiness. So I have a question. Where can this holiness be found right now? And the answer is heaven. As a matter of fact, in Revelation, it speaks about the angels all singing, blessed in honor and glory and power. And they're in heaven, it's telling us in Revelation 5. And they're worshiping the Lord. They also speak about holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Also, Isaiah chapter 6, he spoke about holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So where does this purity, where does this holiness exist right now? It exists in heaven. My question is, will I ever be able to experience this kind of holiness? The answer is yes. My question is, when and where? In heaven. That's where. Yes, because there's no trace of sin in heaven. None. In the presence of Jesus, it's his holiness that's radiating there for us. 1 John chapter 3, it tells us, and we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. Come with me for a moment. We're going to go back to the first century church. We're going to go back after the day of Pentecost, but many, many were getting saved. And there was this man named Saul of Tarsus, and there was this servant of the Lord named Stephen. He was serving tables, but God took his heart just to serve and be willing to do what the Lord had, serving tables, and then God began to move in his life and gave him an anointing and an empowering to proclaim the things of God. And Stephen, it tells us in Acts chapter 7, Acts 7 is almost, that one chapter is an overview of so much of the Old Testament in that one chapter. But at the end of that chapter, he's bringing a sense of conclusion to this message. And he proclaims gospel message. There's salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. And the religious people and those looking were gnashing their teeth and wanting to kill him. And Saul, who would later become Paul, was there. He approved of the murder of Stephen. Stephen was written as the first martyr of the Christian church. It tells us, listen, we're talking about the holiness of heaven. It tells us that heaven opened and Stephen looks into heaven and sees Jesus standing there. I'm telling you, friends, holiness in heaven exists today. And that kind of holiness we will all experience in the future. The holiness of heaven. But right now, it's the heartache on earth. And much of earth is more hell-like than heaven-like. So, Pastor, there's a problem. There's a divided heart. There's an unclean heart. Job chapter 31, verse 1, he says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. I've made a covenant with my eyes before the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, when I wasn't here, and appreciate Victor teaching, that was a message really blessed me, but I was able to be with another church, Calvary Chapel of West Seattle, and I was able to speak with my wife at a small couple's dinner and then stay for their Sunday service and bring the message to them. It was a great blessing. But listen, I said something that caused a big reaction. I didn't expect the reaction, but there's going to be a reaction here in just a minute because I'm going to share the illustration. It's going to cause a reaction. Now you're all prepared not to react. When I shared it earlier, I saw a lot of nudging going on at this couple's dinner. But my friends, I'm no stranger to technology. I have an iPhone. I have an iPad. I have a computer, ProBook. I've got an iMac at home. It's all connected and all together. But we're going to move in an area right now of trying to understand what it is to be pure in heart. How does that take place? In other words, right now, I don't think I've communicated anything that's not new to probably anybody here. We all know that we struggle in our hearts. We all know that we have a divided heart. We all know that in this world, it's hard. I know we live in this world. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But still, that does not exempt me from having a contaminated heart and a struggle in my heart. I want to have a purer heart. I want to see Jesus in ways I've never seen him before through his word, biblically seen and living for Jesus. I desire that. I want that. So, the question I asked at this couple's dinner, if you're afraid to hand your device to your spouse and she can open up anything, he can open up anything, you've got a problem. You've got a problem. Listen, we're talking practically here, right? We're talking biblically, practically. We're saying that there's a problem that we're contending with. How did we get to this particular place? How did we get to this place that all this is happening? And it's happening fast and quick, and it's more intense than ever before. More intense. So the Lord is saying, I want you, but I don't have you. This has you. The iCloud has you. If you're not willing to say, open up whatever you want. You can read anything. You can see anything. You say, that's fine. I know how to delete stuff. Listen, I know how to push a delete button too, okay? I don't know how to scrub anything. Listen, right now, based on the news this last week, I can do this right now. Hello, CIA, NSA, I hope you're enjoying the service today, because if you paid attention to what's going on, we're blessed. You can even see it online if you want. There's nothing we're afraid of in this building. We're not afraid. We're not afraid of God. We love God. We're not afraid to say, I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're not afraid to say, I need prayer and I need help. We're not afraid to say, we're not desirous as believers in Christ Jesus to go the way of the world and to be toxic out there and to be destructive. That's not our desire. But my wife can have this anytime. Any of our key leaders can have any of my stuff anytime. Listen, you realize that the outside world can hack into your stuff at any time, right? It's like, oh, and you might say, oh, they do that. But as far as I know, when I read the scriptures, he says that he knows what I'm going to say before I even say it. And what I'm saying is, maybe when we understand our government and world and they're imposing themselves upon us without an invitation and how we feel resistant, Jesus doesn't need an invitation. He sees everything. And when we start to move in that realm, we want to live in a sense of the fear of the Lord. See, even with my devices, they're already hooked up to my wife, so she knows what's going on. She'll stay away from any email that has to do with our finances or anything that's highly confidential and it's not a part. It's a solution we're working on, but there can't be anything hidden. If there's things hidden, then we're going down the wrong way. We're going down the wrong road. We're in trouble. If there's things that are hidden, there's a mistake. There's a problem. There's sin. There's all kinds of apps that are out there taking young age. The youngest age right now, or the age that gets involved in pornography, is 11 right now. So that's the targeted group. So parents, if you're paying for a data plan, you have every right to look into that data plan at any time you want. If you're paying for it, oh, I'm seeing some faces back there. No! Listen, if you're paying for it, you have every right. If your house, yeah, we show respect, but you're not locked out of your own house or rooms in the house. It's your house. You got to give an account to the Lord for your house. As for me, my house will serve the Lord. It's okay. Listen. It brings liberation. It brings freedom. And when we start to pull back, and this is the last time I'm coming here. Man. Already people are on the side. I see them. They're just like totally deleting. Delete, 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 delete. Batteries are coming out. I don't know. I lost it. Listen, when I was a youth and growing up, I wish somebody would have talked to me and helped me understand stuff about life and about relationships and about purity and about these things. I mean, I grew up 60s and 70s, right? I'm in college in 71, and There's love ends, right? There's free sex. We're up at Haight-Ashbury. We're hanging out. I mean, I'm panhandling on the street because I think, wow, they're getting money. Me and my buddies. Need some spare change, spare change, spare change. And we went out and ate this great meal. It's fine. But I'm just saying, you know, and women are promoting, ban the bra. Guys are going, yeah! And they're streaking on the campuses, college campuses, streaking. And my mom comes to me and she goes, I need to ask you something. I'm in college now, Mom. Yes. Have you streaked yet? She didn't say, were you saved or anything. Have you streaked? I plead the Fifth Amendment, Mom. Whatever that is. She goes, listen, I want you to think about this. You know your grandpa that you love so much? Yes. Well, if you get the idea of streaking, you think of what your grandpa would think about you running through the campus that way. Okay. The fear of Mom. I'm saying this isn't anything new. Sin began in the garden because there was a persuasion to go after the desires of the flesh. That's how it all began. Those desires are there, but it's escalating with great intensity right now, like never before. It's escalating. If we're not aware of that, and if we just want to deny that or ignore that, we're doing the wrong thing. I want to have purity of heart. That's what I want to have. I'm not, and I never do promote myself like somebody that has it all together or whatever else. I need the Lord. I need His work in my life. I'm welcoming just whatever God you can do. So what are you downloading? How many hours do you spend watching TV? How many times have you seen adultery on TV this last week? How many murders? How many of your children there watching when you were watching that? How many hours gaming, various games, how many hours, honestly? If we took your phone right now and put your pictures up here off your phone, would anybody be embarrassed? I have over 40,000 pictures on my phone. You can look at anyone you want. Okay? I'm not reporting like I'm some great guy. I stand before God. We stand accountable, all of us, before God. That I love you too, Tim.
You can have mine.
Okay. Afterwards. Afterwards. Going through Barna Research. So Barna Research is a research group. They get data and give information and do a lot of Christian reporting, Barna Research Group. But I was looking on there and just trying to figure out a few where the trends are at right now. So according to them, Barna Research, as far as believers go, if you're a full, you know, practicing believer in Jesus Christ, you have to attend church just once a month to do that. I mean, that's where it's at. And when I'm looking at that, I realize, you know, brothers and sisters, the more we can be together with other believers, the better it's going to be. The more. And you know how we roll here. We don't put any heavy-handed thing, but because it can't come. It can't come from me, you know, moving you. There are pastors that talk about, hey, how many people did you run at your church this week? I mean, that's what they talk. I said, what are you talking about? None of us run, okay? We all wish we did, but not many of us do. But, you know, we don't herd sheep here. We lead sheep. We love sheep. We care for them. That's what we are. And as caring, we look at this and realize, God, that is so true. I want to see you. My heart's the problem. It gets so caught in the world. If we could, as a scripture in 1 John, so towards Revelation, just before the book of Revelation, there's a little book called Jude, and before Jude is 1 John. If we can turn to 1 John, and this will help us out. It's like, Pastor, okay, I'm getting this. How can you help me out right now? So in 1 John chapter 1, and if you'll notice in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we saw one verse, purity of heart, see God, and we're seeing one other verse today. This is what we'll take away. And in this verse here, it tells us, I need to confess. I need to experience his justification, his forgiveness, and his cleansing. So, here we go. In these next 5 minutes, okay? How can I have purity of heart? How? I have to confess. So many times we know what I did. I know what I did wrong. But for some prideful reason, I don't confess. I need to confess. David hid his sin of adultery and murder for over a year. He was confronted by Nathan, David, the king, a man after God's own heart. And Nathan says, you're the man. And when he said, you're the man, you're the man, David said, I sinned against you and you alone. We need to have that experience. Jesus in Luke 18, the tax collector, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's where it has to be. See, we go back to the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit and mourn and meek and hunger and thirst, mercy, purity. You have to follow that sequence. Now, we confess because God's faithful. All the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus in 2 Corinthians 1. He's faithful because it says in 1 John chapter 5, this is a testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I've written these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Just real quickly, why is this important? Friends, there's only two destinations from this world. There's heaven and there's hell. There's nothing else. There's no soul sleeping, none. There's just heaven and hell. There's no purgatory. There's just heaven and hell. When you die, you face Jesus Christ. Pastor, do you believe all roads lead to heaven? Listen to me. Yes. Listen to me. Listen. All roads are going to put everyone before God. Not all roads lead to Jesus Christ and eternal life with him. But all roads, no matter what road you're on, all of us are going to face the Lord. All of us are going to face God. And from that place, if we've accepted Jesus Christ and his provision for our life, we enter into eternal life. If not, we enter into eternal death. That's it. So when we're talking about this, he's faithful. Go with me. Now, this idea of just, he's faithful and just. Just is justification. It's a declaration made by the Supreme Court of Heaven. We didn't invent it. This is it. It's from God himself. It's a legal term to justify. The just one offers justification. Here it is. Christ dropped all the charges against you. All the sin of this world, all your sin that you have, Christ dropped all the charges. How? Because God charged Jesus with your sin. God judged Jesus guilty, and God brought the full wrath from heaven upon Jesus for the penalty of sin. But Jesus conquered death, and he lives. Therefore, your sins are forgiven. Amen? Amen. Justification, a one-time experience. I've been justified. It's done. It's complete. If I die right now, and he pulled the file of heaven open, And he opened it up. There's nothing there. It should be loaded. There's nothing. Yeah, but God's all-knowing. That's right. But he has chosen to throw your sins and my sins as far as the east is from the west, never to meet. Not north and south, because there'd be a reunion, east and west. Listen, he's thrown our sins into the depth of the sea in this forgiveness. Micah 7:19, he will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all of our sins into the depth of the sea. Amen? All of our sins are in the depth of the sea. Now wait, stop for just a minute. Why are you trying to go fishing? The sins are in the sea with a sign, no fishing. Quit bringing up your sins of the past. They've been forgiven. No fishing. No fishing. This will set you free if you just, if you bite on this. Okay. All right. The last part is the cleansing work. The cleansing work. So I'm saying, I want to have a pure heart. How am I going to have a pure heart? I'm going to just be able to realize, God, I need to confess to you my sins. And if my sins offend others, I need to ask for their forgiveness and do it right away and quit delaying right away. Okay. Then I go and think of how is this even possible? What's possible? Because he justified me. And I think about his greatness, that you took all my sin on the cross for me not to do this. How insulting is that to you, God, who did everything for me? How prideful it is of me to do that. So forgiveness, justification, and then cleansing. It's a purifying work. I don't know about you. This weather, can you believe? I mean, it's nice right now. Yeah, Pastor, if you say amen, it'll be even nicer. We can get going in some sun here. But my car, I kind of like to have a clean car. Sometimes, you know, I do it myself. Other times, through the car wash. And they wipe it. It looks nice. As a matter of fact, I tell my wife, it runs better. I just have that feeling. And there was no mechanical work on it, but when it's clean, it's smoother, runs nicer. People go by, hey. It's just good. But the very nature of my car is when I'm going back up Grover, it accumulates more dust. As soon as I left, it just does it. It's by the very nature. You know where I'm going with this. We accumulate a lot of stuff. And maybe we haven't been through the car wash lately. But you know how good it feels? You know how good it feels when you ask God to cleanse us of our sins? It just feels good. I'm running better, babe. Yeah, you've been confessing lately? You must be. You're feeling good. That's what we do. We just need to do it. Listen. You go to bed at night, your sheets are probably pretty clean, a nice soft pillow, nice little surrounding, good night's sleep. You wake up and, I got to take a shower. Well, what happened? You weren't out in the dirt or anything? It's like everything was nice. It's got to take a shower. I don't feel good until I take a shower. We need to be confessing a little bit more and cleansing, don't we? That's how we're going to have a pure heart. We have a pure heart. We read God, his word. We just see him. We love him more. And we love others. Amen? Let's stand for the final prayer here. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And even today, and maybe someone here today, this morning, you might be like me years ago in 1978, listening to a pastor. I was so into the world, but I so needed Jesus. And it was soon after that I asked for forgiveness. So if you're not certain tonight, again, there's two this afternoon or this morning. Depends on how you set your clock. Anyways, ask if you're not certain about your eternal destination, then ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins in your heart to him and be born again and know with certainty that you've been justified. for most of us probably here, this is just encouraging to realize Jesus taking time and speaking to us, realizing he created us, he knows everything about us, and he wants us to be more like him and less like the world. But we have to make radical decisions regarding the use of our time and the choices we make, whether we're hungering and thirsting for him or is our appetite bigger for other things. So God, just help us in that area to be honest before you and ask for your power to do what's right. In Jesus' name, amen.